So the Gemara in the bottom of Pei Gimel and Beis, that's how far we got last year. We did not dip into Pei Dalet. So we're on the bottom of Pei Gimel and Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Misha Nashu Kelev Shotef. Someone was bitten by a rabid dog, so he's supposed to eat some part of some area near the liver. We didn't have an arts class, so we didn't sure exactly what part of the body it was. Chatzir Kaved. Some part of the dog's body you're supposed to eat, and that supposedly heals you. There's a machlokus in the Mishnah whether that's effective or not, and whether you could take that on Shabbos, right, in general, actually. Of course, dog's not a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, Chamisha Dvarim Nemu Bekalev Shota. There were five things that were said about a wild or a rabid dog. Piv Pasuach, its mouth is open. Veriro Notif, its saliva dripping from its mouth. The Oznov Sruchos, its ears are big and doubled over, hanging. The Zanvo Munacha Yerchosov, and its tail is hidden between its legs. Umahalach Bitside Dirachim, and it walks along the side of the path, sides of the road. The Yeshomim, some say there's even a sixth quality that tells you whether it's a rabid dog. Af Noveach Vein Kol Nishma. It seems to be barking, but its sound isn't heard.
It says liver lobe.
Liver lobe. Okay, not a doctor.
I guess the liver must have a little piece somewhere that's a little hanging or something.
Okay, so that area supposedly is subject to debate whether or not that works to heal you if you get bitten by such a dog. So we might have a. From what does this dog? How did the dog become a shota? What causes this? So the Gemara says the machlokas Rav Amar Noshim Kashvanios Misachos. That these women, these witches, if you will, they show it's through their witchcraft that make these dogs go crazy. Ushmu Amar Ruach Rosh Oralov. Some evil spirit has overtaken this dog's body. My benai, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel, whether it's the women who caused it or whether it's this Ruach Ra? Yikibunai, the difference is Lemikdile Bidavar HaNizrak, in order to kill this dog with something that you throw from a distance. According to Shmuel, who says it's a Ruach Ra, you shouldn't kill it because the shade might jump out and attack you. So you shouldn't touch a dog, but rather from a distance you could kill because the shade won't reach you from there. But according to Rav, it's about the kishuf, so then you could kill it even with your hands. That's the question again, whether or not you should kill it with your hands or not. So again, if it's shade, you shouldn't kill with your hands because the shade might attack you. But if it's an issue of kishuf, then then you can't be affected by it if you kill it with your hands. Okay, interesting Gemara. Gemara says, Tani Kavasai de Shmuel. There's a Brisa that supports the opinion of Shmuel, who held that's a problem of Ruach Ra. The Brisa says, Kisha Horginoso, when you kill the dog, Ain Horginoso Ela Bedavar HaNizrach. You should only kill this with Davar HaNizrach, because if you kill it with your hands, it might come attack you. The shade might jump on top of you. So Gemara says, Dechayev Be Mistakin. So this is going to be a bit of a challenging Gemara. Some medical refuah, herbs and whatnot. So the challenging words. The Gemara says, Dechayiv Bey Mistakin. So if somebody was Dechayiv Bey mean?
Is rubbed by it.
If you get rubbed by this dog, it's quite dangerous for you. My Tekante, what's the fix? How do you heal? Nishlach Manei V'nirhat. You have to remove your clothing and run. That's what happens if a dog rubs up against, this type of dog rubs up against your clothing. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Chaf Bei Chai Minai Ubushuka. He was once walking. One of these crazy dogs had rubbed up against his clothing. Shalchinu L'mane. He threw off his clothing, grew and ran as fast as he could. Amar Kiyamti Biasme. I held with myself. I fulfilled the following pasuk. Hachachma Tichayev Alea. Person who's wise, person who knows, is able to save himself. So since he knew this method of saving himself, he himself was spared. Gemara says, Denachislei. Mice. If a person gets bitten by such a dog, he dies. Maitikante, what's the fix? How could he heal himself before he dies to save himself? Amar Baye, Naisei Mashka de Ape Dichra. He should bring the skin of a colored type of cat, I think, maybe. V'nichtav alayon. He should write on the skin, Ana Planya Bar Planya, and me, my name, the son of my mother. Amirashcha de Ape Dichra Ksiva Lacha. You write this statement on the skin of the cat, I think. And you write further, Kanti, Kanti, Clearus, some type of saying. Vamrili, others say, kin kandi, kandi klaris. Ka ka Hashem tzvakos, amen, amen, tzelet. You write that on the skin as well. V'nishtachinu l'mane, you remove your clothing. V'likbarine be'kavre atresar yarche shasa. And you bury your clothing for 12 months, a full year, that is. Nafkinu v'niklenu b'tanura, then you remove the clothing from the cemetery and you burn them in an oven. V'nivdirenu l'kitme, and you spread the ashes, aparshas drachim, the highways. V'hanech tresar yarche shasa, in those 12 months, kishasamai, when he drinks water, lo lishtei ela begufso dinachasha, he should only drink from a copper tube. Dilmachazi bevua deshidav listakim, because while he's drinking, he might see the shadow, the shade that may have overtaken him, and it becomes dangerous if you see the shadow of the shade. Kiaha daba bar marta, like this story of this individual, who Abba bar manyane, who is also called that name, Abba bar manyume, v'av delei ema gives her the dhava, where his mother made for him a golden tube to drink from. Again, whether it's nechoshes or gold doesn't make much of a difference. The point is, you drink from a straw, it seems like, so you don't see. If you drink from a cup, you might see the shade on the top of your cup, a reflection on the top of your liquid, rather drinking from, I guess, a closed container with a little bit of straw, so you won't see the reflection of this shade. Interesting Gemara again. V'od amar Rav Masya. The Gemara says further, one of the things Rav Masya had told us in the Mishnah was that if someone who has a sore throat, he should take some type of medicine on Shabbos, because the sore throat could turn into something quite dangerous. So Rav Yochanan Chashbit Tiftini. Rav Yochanan was once having a toothache. And also Gabidaha Humat Tronisa. He went to a certain Nachris, a non-Jew. She was well known, and she knew the various refuahs. She was a dentist, I guess. Abdelay Milsa. She made for him some type of refuah. And Mecham Shema'ala Shabbasa, for Thursday and for Erev Shabbos, he took this. And Amar Lo, Rabbi Yochanan says, there, B'Shabbos Mai, am I supposed to take something on the third day? Or after 2 days, is it good? Amri Le, she says to him, Lo Nitzichasa, you don't need any more refuah. You have Thursday, Friday, you're going to be Eim Mitzarcha Mai. Let's say I need. Let's say my tooth still does bother me. What am I supposed to do? Amri Le, so she says to him, Ishtabili Dilob Migale. So you have to promise me you're not going to reveal this refuah to anybody else. Ishtabe, Rabbi Yochanan promised her, Leloka di Yisrael, Lo Megale to Hashem. He promised Hashem, I won't reveal it. And so she told him what the refuah was. Shortly thereafter, Nafik Udrasha Bepirka. The next day, I guess, he gave the drasha in shul, and he told everyone, the entire shul, what exactly the refuah is. If a person has a toothache, what a person should do. So Gemara asks, how is Rabbi Yochanan able to do that? Didn't he promise, didn't he swear to her he was not going to reveal the refuah for a toothache? So Gemara explains, Leloka di Yisrael lo megale. You misunderstood what he said. She hadn't misunderstood what he said. He said, I won't reveal it to Hashem. Not that he made a shvua to Hashem, that he won't reveal it to anybody. He said, I won't reveal it to Hashem only. However, hala amo Yisrael megale. But to the nation, to Klal Yisrael, to my nation, I will reveal it to them. Va'igil chil Hashem. How can he do that? Won't there be a tremendous chil Hashem that when she finds out that he lied, what she thought he was lying to her? The Megale Meikar Rabbi Yochanan already told her that after she revealed it, he said, by the way, the shvua I took was not the shvua that you thought I took, and she already knew about it, so it didn't generate another chil Hashem. I'm not sure when he told her after the fact that itself wasn't chil Hashem, why only it's a concern once he reveals it in public, and she had known, but if she knew beforehand, and then he revealed it, I'm not sure why that's not a chil Hashem. The Gemara says further, my Abdilai. So what exactly was refuah that this very good dentist told Rabbi Yochanan for his tooth? So Amr Rav Acha Breid Rav Ami Meisor, water that's soaked in some type of yeast, and Shemen Zayis, so that's mixed along with some olive oil, Umelch, and some salt. Rabbi Yemar Amar, Misor Gufa, wasn't the water that was soaked in the yeast, rather it was the sor itself. And Shemen Zayis Umelch, that was the mixture, the potion that helped. Avashi Amar, Mashcha de Gad for the Avza. He said, you took the oil, or the fats, of the small bone of a goose. Amar Bai, Ana Abdi, the Chulav Lo Itasai. I tried all these different things, my tooth was killing me, and none of them worked. Ad Amar Li Hahum Tayata, until a certain Arab had told me, I see kashiyasa de zesa de lo malu tilsa. Take the seed, the pit of an olive that hadn't been complete. It didn't get to a third of its maturity. Ukleinu benura, and burn it in fire. Imre chadasa on a new something, a new kli.
hoe, H-O-E.
Okay, fine, on a new hoe. V'adbik b'chachei dare, and cling it to your teeth. Avdi hachi v'itzatase, and he did this, and this apparently helped his teeth. Mimai haba, what did this, where does this toothache come from? What's the source of the toothache? Mechamime chamime dechete. When a person eats hot bread, that apparently makes your teeth very sensitive and causes pain. Umishiure kasa daharsana, and also the leftovers of small little fish that have been fried together with some flour. So fried fish, basically the leftovers, that also causes that that was left out overnight, that also causes pain to the tooth. Umai simane, what's the simen, the mnemonic of this choli? What's it referred to? Kad rami mide bikache v'asa dama mibeidare. When a person puts something small in his teeth, then it causes blood to flow from the teeth. That's the mnemonic. So these two things, again, hot bread and left out a fried fish, is going to be bad for the teeth. Rabbi Yochanan kichash b'tzaftini. When Rabbi Yochanan once was experiencing some toothache, Avid hachi b'shabasa v'itasa, he did this on Shabbos, he did the refuah, and then he learned from this nachris that to mix the olive oil and the, what was it again, the olive oil, the mesa or the water of the yeast, he did this on Shabbos and it worked. Rabbi Yochanan hechi avid hachi, how is Rabbi Yochanan able to do this? It wasn't in Shabbos and you can't do refuah on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, shayni tafdini, hol maschil b'peh v'gomer b'vnei mayayim. When it comes to toothache, it's very different, because it starts in the tooth and it can end up in the stomach, and it can be quite dangerous for a person. In fact, I think they say even that sometimes a toothache can end up in the brain. It can be very dangerous, yeah. So it's quite dangerous. So when it comes to toothache, although right now it's not an immediate danger, it could definitely lead to something quite dangerous. So that's why even on Shabbos you could do the refuah. So Amar Leih Rav Chiya bar Abba l'Rav Yochanan Kiman, who does he hold like? Ki Rabbi Masya ben Charish, he must hold like Rabbi Masya ben Charish. To Amar Hachoshesh b'fiv matilin lo sam b'Shabbos. Rav Masya and the Mishnah told us that if somebody has a sore throat, he's permitted to take medication on Shabbos. So here too, also when a person has a toothache, you're able to take medication. So that's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. He is in agreement with Rabbi Masya ben Charish. Amar Leih Rav Yochanan says, Shani Omer b'zuv lo b'acheres. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I hold that so even the Chachamim agreed with Masya in regards to this taking medication on Shabbos. So the Chacham only argued in the Mishnah when it came to if a dog bit you, then eating the lobe of the kidney, the lobe of the liver, that's the machlokas. So again, we had a few different opinions of Rav Masya. Rav Masya told us in the Mishnah about taking something for the sore throat on Shabbos, and also about the lobe of the liver. Chacham only argued on the lobe of the liver, that doesn't work, you can't eat the dog's liver. But when it comes to taking medication on Shabbos for a sore throat, even the Chachamim would agree. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't hold only like Rav Masya, I even hold like the Chachamim. Gemara attempts to bring a proof to Rabbi Yochanan that Chachamim agreed to Rav Masya in regards to taking medication for a sore throat, or in regards to also maybe a toothache. Leimu Masai Leimei, let's bring a proof from the following. Misha Achsu Yerakon, person who's overtaken by some type of disease that causes his face to turn green. We have nowadays, I think hepatitis causes that maybe.
Well, they say jaundice.
Oh, jaundice, okay.
We think of that as yellow.
Yeah, I thought yellow. But may yarrow could also mean yellow. Like what they call colors might be different than what we call colors. Hard to describe a color other than by the name. So machilin, so a person who's overtaken by jaundice, let's say, machilin also besar chamor. You could give him some a donkey's meat. Interesting. Mishanashko kelv show to someone who's bitten by this wild dog, machilin also mechatzer kavet shelo. You give him this lobe of the liver. If somebody who has a sore throat, matilin lasam b'shabbes, you could give him medication for his throat. David Rabbi Masya ben Charish. Those are the three opinions of Rabbi Masya. Comes along chachamim omrim and they argue be'elu ein behem mishum refuah. The above mentioned things, none of them are effective. Be'elu lemutei ma'ay. I mean these, but others are these. But what is? So lemutei ma'ay is not coming to say my lav lemutei sam. That must be that Rabbi Yochanan held that the chacham said when it comes to. He sounds like the Elu, sounds like he's only arguing on some of the statements of Rav Masya, but he agrees to the other ones. So the Gemara initially wants to say that he thinks he argues when it comes to the being bitten by a dog, and he argues on the jaundice, but he agrees that if a person has a sore throat, then you are allowed to take medication. That's how the Gemara initially thinks. It's a proof that even Chachamim think you can't take medication for a sore throat. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not what Chachamim are saying." Lemute makizin dam lesronchi. The three that Rav Masih mentioned, he argues that none of them are effective. What is effective? So bloodletting when it comes to another disease called sronchi, which is another same Rav Masih, he permits that. That Chacham agreed to that you may take, you can do bloodletting on Shabbos for is on Shabbos or just in yeah on Shabbos for this disease called sronchi. Mara says further, Hachanam Mistabra, this is logical to say. Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Shloshet Dvarim Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. There are three things that Rabbi Shmuel taught us. Sheshama Mishim Rabbi Masih Min Charash, that he heard from in the name of Rabbi Masih. One is Makiz and Dam Lisroch, you could bloodlet for this type of disease, B'Shabbos. Umishinashcha Kelv Shota, someone who's bitten by this wild dog. Machilin Asom Mechatzah Kavit Shalo, you could give him the lobe of the liver. Bachoshes befib batilin losam b'shabbos. Someone who has a sore throat could take medication. Those are three things Rabbi Shmuel heard in the name of Rav Masih. Chacham omrim be'elu ein behem b'shem refuah. These are not effective. What does mean be'elu? L'mutei ma. These but not those. Which ones are not effective and which one are? My lab atarti b'sraisu is not referring to the last two are not effective. The last two being bitten by this wild dog and having a sore throat. Lumute Duresha, and to exclude the first case, that the first case Chacham agreed that one can do, the Makizim Dam does work for Sukhani. So the Gemara says, Lo, Atarti Duresha, Kamais, it's referring to the first two are not effective. The bloodletting is not effective, and eating the lobe of the liver is not effective. However, Lumute the Sefer, to exclude the Sefer, that the Sefer is effective, the Sefer being one can take medication for a sore throat. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Tashma, going along these lines of figuring out the Mechokas Chachamim Rav Masih. Tashma detani Rabba Bar Shmuel ubra sheharicha machil noso ad shetoshav nafsha. A woman who's pregnant on Yom Kippur who feels a need to desire to eat, you're able to feed her until she's toshav nafsha, until she's okay, fine, I'm comfortable now. Umisha nascha, further, one who's bitten by a kelev shote, who's bitten by this wild dog, machil noso mechatzer kavet shelo, you could give it to eat from this lobe of the liver. Vachoshesh b'fiv matil nosam b'shabes divrei Rabbi Yelezer Rabbi Yosi. Shamar Mishum Ramasa bin Kharish. And the third thing is someone who has a sore throat could take the medication. So again, we keep seeing these three things being mentioned. Chacham Omrim, Chacham come along and say, Bezu v'lo becheres. Bezu, ahai. This one but not another one. What are they saying? Again, Chacham keep having this very cryptic statement, but this but not that. So, ahai, which one is referring to? Ilema, ubra. If it's referring to the ubra, that if a woman is pregnant and she feels a need to eat on Yom Kippur, her Masa says you can feed her. Chacham say, Bezu v'lo becheres. So I said, Pshita, of course you're able to save the you're allowed to feed the pregnant lady on Yom Kippur. Ubra miik leman damar delo. Is there such a person who would say you can't feed this starving, this pregnant lady who's in such pain? Of course, everyone agrees to feed her. There's no chiddush there. El alav asam is not referring to the sam. That Rucham say, asam, the medication a person is allowed to take on Shabbos for a sore throat. Shema mina. So we learned from here, that's the opinion that again, a sore throat, you could take medication for a sore throat. And by way of that, Rabbi Yochanan learned earlier that for a toothache, a person can also take medication on Shabbos because it's very dangerous. Rav Ashi says, Masnis and Nami Dekar. Our mission is also quite exact in telling us this same idea. What does the Mishnah say? Ve'od, furthermore, Amar Masa ben Charish, he said, Achoshish b'fiv matil lo sam b'Shabbos, ve'lo pligi rabbanu leo. So Rav Masih told us in the Mishnah that a person with a sore throat may take medication on Shabbos, and the Chacham are nowhere to be found. They don't argue at all in the Mishnah, so it sounds like the Chacham actually agree that you can take medication for a sore throat. V'imisa, if it's true, the pligi Rabban Elayo, if Rabban really argued in Rav Masih in this din, le'arvinu v'lisneu b'lifligu b'Rabban Masefa, sh'mamina. They should have included the opinion of Rabban in saying that the Rabban also argue on this halacha. The very fact that the Rabban are not mentioned, that they argue on this halacha of taking medication for a sore throat, teach us that Chacham agree that one may take medication for a sore throat. The Gemara goes on now to a new topic, but somewhat related about medication and dangers and pikuach nefesh. The Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah of Ipnesha Safek Nefashasu. The Gemara is talking about, what was the Mishnah tell us? That if there's a Safek, if someone's in danger, so someone has to, you have to be Machmir and Nefashos and save the person's life and violate whatever Shabbos is necessary. So Safek Nefashos we take very seriously. Lamali Sulameimar v'chol Safek Nefashos Dochas and Shabbos. Why do you have to make that general statement? Once we taught, right, the Mishnah is repetitive. The Mishnah had said to us, let's have it written down maybe on the side. Mishnah told us someone who has a sore throat takes medication, mipnei shesafik nefashos, because it's safik nefashos, And the Mishnah repeats, V'chol safek nefashos. The klal is, anyone with a safek nefashos, someone whose life is in danger, dochas ha-shabbos, dochas ha-shabbos. So why repeat this klal of safek nefashos, dochas ha-shabbos? So the Gemara says, again, lama li sulamemer. Why does it have to repeat, V'chol safek nefashos, dochas ha-shabbos? So Amar of Yehuda, Rehuda Amar Rav, and then the name of Rav says, Lo safek shabbos zubel vad, Amru ela fil safek shabbos acheres. Let's say this person has some type of disease, something that's bothering him, that there's no imminent suffix for this Shabbos. There's no danger. We know he'll make it to the Shabbos without a problem. But the problem is, it might, for next Shabbos, it might create a sakana. If we don't treat him now, next Shabbos he'll be in a case of suffix nefashos. But right now, on this Shabbos, there's nothing, there's no immediate suffix. There's no pikuach nefesh at all. So that's what's coming to teach me, that even if there's a very distant suffix, that another week, the suffix won't only be for another week, even then you're able to heal him on this Shabbos. What's the situation like this? That the doctor said he has at least 8 days to live. The Yoma Kama Shabbos, and day one is Shabbos. So Mal, the same, what would you have thought? So maybe you should wait. This doctor says he needs 8 days of refuah. So since there's no real danger right now, maybe push off to Matzah Shabbos and start the refuah Matzah Shabbos. This way you're only violating one Shabbos as opposed to doing two Shabboses. Kamashma, no, if there's a suffix nefashos, we don't waste any time. Right away, we apply the refuah, and that's the halacha. That's what's learned from the superfluous language of kol suffix nefashos, dochas ha-shabbos, from our Mishnah. Mark quotes a brisa that says, Tani nami hachi, brisa teaches us, mechamin chamin l'chola b'shabbos. A person is able to warm up water on Shabbos, even though, of course, it's going to be an iser melacha of burning and starting a fire and bishul of the water. You could warm it up for a chola. Bein lashkosa, whether it's the purpose of giving him to drink. Bein lavrasa, whether it's for the purpose of washing his body. Lo Shabbos zublavad amru, lo Shabbos acheres. Not only for this Shabbos, but you can even warm it up for the next Shabbos. What does it mean for the next Shabbos? You warm it up for this Shabbos, for the next, it's going to get cold. What's the case here?
He might die in the next Shabbos.
Even though he might not make it to the next Shabbos.
Since he might not make it to the next Shabbos, you don't warm up this Shabbos.
Even though this Shabbos is no immediate danger, the danger is only if you warm it up for him. Ve'ein omrim namtin lo shem yavri. We don't say, oh, let's wait out. Maybe he'll get better. He'll get healed. El macham lo miyad. We warm up the water right away if he needs it. We don't wait. Ibn Eshe safik nefashos dochas Shabbos v'lo safik Shabbos. So, because the suffix nefashos docha Shabbos, lo suffix Shabbos zu, not only if it's the suffix on this very Shabbos, el afilu suffix Shabbos acheres, even though the suffix of his life is only going to be for next Shabbos, right now there's no immediate danger, still we warm it up right now. The vein osin dvarm halalu, and these types of bikuach nefesh cases, lo aide nachum, we don't wait for non-Jews to do it, lo aide kusim, el aide gdol Yisrael. Gdol Yisrael are the ones who are supposed to be performing these refuahs, because they don't waste any time. They know the halacha. They don't say, oh, it's Shabbos, I should be careful. No. They know the halacha. Pikuach nefesh overrides Shabbos, and they'll do it right away in the proper way. Vein omrim yasu dvarm halalu lo api nashim lo api kusim. We don't do this on based on the mouth of women or kusim. Aba mesar from the das acheres. But you can take their opinion. You can consult them. But we don't do everything solely on based on what they say. We take only men and gedolei Yisrael for these halachas. They're very complicated. But again, whenever there's a doubt, you should docha Shabbos. Tana Rabbanon, Tana Rabbanon, Mefakim Pekuach Nefesh B'Shabbos. So the halacha is that one is supposed to do, one has to do Pekuach Nefesh, whatever is necessary to save a life on Shabbos. Vazar is Hareza Meshubach, someone who's very quick and on it to take care of it right away, that's very praiseworthy. Vein Sarach Lito Rashus Mebezdin, you don't have to go ask Bezdin to go ask the Shabbos to the Rav, no. Safek nefashos, pikuach nefesh, right away take care of it. Okay, so what's the case? How is this so? Ra tinok shenafol yam, you see a child that fall into the water, so you have to save him. So porish mitsuda, you could separate a net, some type of thing to catch the baby, to pull the baby or the child out, umaleo, to bring him up, vazarez hareza meshubach, and the one who does this quickest is very praiseworthy. Vein tzarech lito rishus mebezin, you don't have to ask permission for this, you just do it. Vavagav dekot tzayid kavre, even though you might catch some fish along the way, it's not a problem because his intentions are just obviously to save the child and no concerns with the melacha of tzad, which is one of the 39 melachos. Or raw tinak shenafel abor. Let's say you see a child who fell to a pit Oker chulya lemaleu. You could start digging up. You could remove dirt. Do a issue. It's a problem of chofer or perhaps even boneb digging or building. You could do this umaleu, and you could bring up the child. Hazaris are meshubach. The one who does this quick is praiseworthy. Vein tzarich lito rishis mebezdin. You don't have to ask permission from anybody. Avagav the misakin dargar. Even though by doing so you're creating stairs to go down to the pit and to come back out from the pit, and that's an issue of boneh that is permitted because your intention is to save the child. It's bikuach nefesh. Rush and nala delas b'fnei tinok. Let's say the child gets locked in a room. So what are you supposed to do? So shovra, you could break it down and motzilin to take the child out of the room. It's dangerous for him to be there alone. Vazaris harezim eshubach, and the one who does this quickly is going to be praised. Vein tzarich litor shis mebezdin. Again, you don't need permission. Va'afagav dekom mechavin lemitzvah b'shifei. Even though while breaking down the door, your intentions are perhaps to make some beams of wood to use for something. Right, even though you might make some type of wood which is used for something else, which has another purpose, another function, still the main intention is to save the child. It's pikuach nefesh. Everything overrides pikuach nefesh overrides everything else. And further case, the fourth and last case listed, the last example, mafsikim mipnei d'dleika b'shabbos. So a person could you could set up a mafsik, and you could set up take some type of pots filled with water and create a border so the fire doesn't spread. And the fire does spread and it hits these kalim, it's going to, the water and the kalim are going to cause the fire to go out. So that's permitted to be done. V'hazar is harev is a meshubach, and the quicker you do that, the more praised you are. Vein tzarich litov rishus mebezdin, you don't need to ask permission. V'afagav dekamat chich mechuche, even though by doing so, the water extinguishing the fire is going to create coals. And these coals are going to be able to be used for a fire. You've created something there. Still, it's permitted because of pikuach nefesh, saving the lives of others. Tzricha, you need all four examples we just mentioned. Because di ashmin and yam, if you taught the case of the water where the child fell into the water, mishum da adahachi v'hachi azalei, because if you wait till after Shabbos, the child could get swept away in the current. I guess we're assuming the child could swim. But still, if you don't get him out of there, he can't get back. He's fighting the current the other direction. He might completely get swept away. About board, the koyasevei malot tzricha. But if he's sitting on the board, he's not going anywhere. He'll just sit there. Okay, we'll sit there, and we'll wait till after Shabbos. It's not that dangerous, an immediate danger. We'll send them some water and some food down there. Tzricha, no, that case also, we need to take him out, even though he's not going anywhere. V'yashmina, and if we teach the case of the boar, v'shum dekam mivet. That case is scared. He's very scared down there. He's all by himself. It's dark. It's cold. It's wet. About ninalas delas. But if he gets locked in a room, it's not so dangerous and not so scary there. You could stand on the sit on the other side of the door, and you could talk to and have fun and play games with the child through the door, and wait after Shabbos before breaking down the door. It's the case of being locked in a room. And mechabin mafsikin lamli. Why teach the case of you could put out a fire and you could set up all these pots of water, which would also indirectly put out the fire? Why teach that case? So the Gemara says that filu chatzer cheres. Let's say there's no danger for this chatzer, the chatzer, but it's the chatzer that's next over. The neighboring courtyard is in danger of being burnt. So even for such a case, you're allowed to put it out for the sake of another chatzer. So all four cases, four examples were needed to be taught. Amar of Yosef. Yosef teaches us Amar of Yehuda. Amar Shmuel lo halchu b'pikuach nefesh achar rov. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, we don't follow the majority. Hechidami, what's the situation of this? Inem b'dikatisha Yisrael v'kusi echad binayu. Let's say there's a danger. You know, let's say a building fell down, a building collapsed, and you know one person's there. You're not sure the status of the person, whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew. And the suffix was among 10 people, let's say, and 9 of the 10 people were Jewish, and one of them was a kusi. So Rubi Yisrael, you know, so most are, it's a rove, chance are, it is a Yisrael, so you should go dig up the rubble and find out who's below and to save him. So we see from here that the statement above told us in the name of Shmuel that Pikuach Nefesh does not follow the rove, but here we certainly should follow the rove if most are Jews. So if it's Inami, the gear says Palga Palga, let's say it's 5 and 5, 5 Jews, 5 non-Jews. So here too also, Safik Nefash al-Hakel. Okay, there's no rove here, but still a Safik. It's a 50-50 chance. So this too also, you should take the risk and remove all the rubble to see if it's a Jew underneath it. So it must be a case, the Ikatisha Kusim v'Yisrael Echad. Must be a situation where there are 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew, and we say, you don't follow the rove. You follow the, even though the rove is Kusim, we don't follow the rove, rather we should save him. Save the 1 Jew, in case it might be the Jew that's in danger. Gemara says, "Hanami pshita." This is also obvious, because the havale kavua, it's a set case. V'chol kavua k'mechsa al mechsa damim. Kavu is. So let's say the 10 people lived in this chatzer, and we know were in the building, and the building collapsed. So there are 9 non-Jews, 1 Jew. So they're stationed in their building. That's considered kavua. And there's a special halacha without getting into the details of how this works. The klal is a kavua, something that's stationed. We view it, even though the actual numbers might be different, we always view it as 50-50. So even though they're actually 9 non-Jews to 1 Jew, we view it as 50-50. And that's going to go back to a case of Safek Nefashos L'Hakel. So it's obvious that, of course, you save the Jew. That's not a chiddush there. The Gemara says, no, lo tzricha, it's only needed in parish l'chatzer acheres. It's where the 10 individuals went to another chatzer, where they're not kavua, they weren't, collapse didn't happen where they were kavua in the chatzer, rather went to an adjacent chatzer, and that's where it collapsed. So since it was parish, the same, what would you have thought? Called the parish meruba parish. The klal is anybody that separates from where they came from, we assume we call follow the rov. So if one person separated from the rov, we assume, in the chatzer A, there were 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew. And we heard one of the people in this chatzer A went to chatzer B, and the building collapsed, so we don't know if it was a Jew or a non-Jew. So we assume the klal is called the parish meruba parish. Anybody who separated from the chatzer A, chances are it was from the rov. What was the rov? A non-Jew. So we could apply the klal that probably a non-Jew went to chatzer B, and there's no need to figure out and find out who was under the rubble here. So kamash v'lan de lo halchu b'pikuach nefesh achar rov. When it comes to someone's life is in danger, we don't say rov. Rov is the non-Jews. We shouldn't save the person who's there. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, the Jew, even though it's maybe a small chance it was a Jew, we still save the Jew. And we don't follow rov in this case. Aini, is this really true? V'homer Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tisha kusim v'Yisrael echad ba'osachater. Let's say there are 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew and 1 chater. Well, if it's in the same chater, so then you have to save. If you're not sure who was underneath the collapse, you have to save them because it's kavua. They're in the same chater where they live. It's even though there's only 1 Jew, we say kavua is mechsa mechsa. But let's say they move over to the adjacent chater. The halacha is that you don't save them. So just above we said if they go to the adjacent chater, you do save them if it's 1 Jew to 9. Here we're saying 1 Jew to 9. We say we don't save them. What's the machla? What's the steer? How do you reconcile the steer here? So the Gemara says, lo kasher, ha de parish kula, ha de parish miksasayu. Depends how many people went. If it's a case where only one person went to the adjacent one, so we don't know if it was a Jew or non-Jew, so here we go, bust of the roof. But if all 10 of them go to the next chatzah, to chatzah B, so then it goes back to basically a case of kavua, and kavua becomes mechza, mechzadam. That's the basic understanding. Okay, so I guess let's... Maybe we'll stop here. I guess tomorrow's daf is off, but. And a sip of water.